recorded live.
Amen. So tonight we are going to begin in What Do I Possess? I know that, and I pray anyway, that most of us on the line have the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, amen, you do not need to proceed with ministry until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is your help for ministry. And you cannot do ministry without the gift of the Spirit of God on the inside of you that is going to lead you and guide you and direct you in ministry. We are going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. So let's go there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. And we're going to do some reading. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to try to move through this entire chapter because it is the entire chapter that we need, amen, to be able to deal with the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. And I want you to hold your finger there. Amen. Hold your place there on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then I want us to make a beeline over to Ephesians chapter 4. And I believe that I had said in the beginning of the class when we first started this that we are going to be going back and forth to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 because this is our scripture that tells us why these gifts are even in the body and why did Christ leave these gifts to the church. So, you know, you have to understand that we have a purpose, amen, and outside of that purpose, amen, if we don't abide in what God has called us to do as these gifts in the body, then we're wasting time, we're making noise, amen, and we want to make sure that we are edifying the body of Christ and that we are doing what God has positioned us to do in the body. So we're going to look at verse 11 and verse 12, and it's always so hard for me to go to Ephesians 4 and only read one or two verses, so I'm going to try to do this tonight, because I just love this chapter.
Providence,
yes.
Before you start kind of hearing your voice double, I don't know if anyone else
okay.
is.
We're going to fix it. Hold on one second. Okay, we're fixing it. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 11 and 12. Amen. And verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, I know a lot of times people, you know, we are gifted in the body of Christ, and with our gifts, you know, sometimes people tend to just go a little bit crazy. And we want to try, the whole purpose of this class is so that we bring balance. It's not to try to make you think that you have to follow one particular way of doing things. Amen. God has gifted us all differently and with a different measure of the gifts that he has placed upon our lives. So we're not going to all express our gift in the same way. But we do have one of the functions that has been given to all of us, and that is that we have a perfecting ministry that is supposed to take place in the body of Christ. These gifts that have been given to the body of Christ have been given for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, okay? There's no other reason. God did not give us the Holy Ghost, and he didn't give us apostles and prophets just so that we can walk around and call ourselves by these illustrious titles. Okay, he has given us and made us gifts to the church and to the saints so that the ministry that he has given us will bring perfection or maturity to the body of Christ, okay? And to do the work of the ministry, okay? What is the work of the ministry? It's winning souls. It is strengthening the saints. It is teaching. It is bringing the saints into a greater knowledge and understanding of the truth of God's word. Amen. And all of these things take place as we, amen, function in the place that God has ordained for us to function. We know that everybody is not an apostle, everybody is not a prophet, everybody is not an evangelist. We have all been called with different callings, and it is up to us, amen, to get in the presence of God and to get under some solid biblical teaching so that we can learn the voice of God and learn, amen, what it is that God is speaking to us concerning what he's called us to do. Unfortunately, in the day that we live in, everybody is an apostle. Everybody are prophets, you know. Used to be that everybody were calling themselves evangelists. You don't hear that too often anymore. But somewhere along the line, we have really lost God's heart for his body and God's heart, amen, for the church at large. It's not just so that we can have these titles, amen. And I really wish that somebody, you know, would really just have a heart for God, amen. And I know that as we listen to different ones preaching and teaching, sometimes we can grow weary in our spirit and we can become discouraged because we hear people just rambling on about foolishness. And even I myself have been at that place, and I just said, God, when are we just going to get a mind and just, you know, we just want to preach the gospel just because we just want to preach the gospel because we love souls. Amen. Not because we're trying to get a worldwide ministry. Not because we're trying to get on TBN. Not because we're trying to get on the World Network. Amen. Or get our names, amen, up on a marquee. But because we know that we have a ministry of perfecting the saints. Amen. This is what we have got to seek to do. And so in our learning on tonight, amen, we're going to be talking about what do I possess. And in order for you to walk in the fullness of the ministry of perfecting the saints, amen, you need to know what you possess. Because knowing what you possess is going to help you to stay, amen, or should I say abide in your own calling. Amen. You won't be, amen, as a prophet trying to walk, amen, in the pastor's shoes because you already know what gifts you possess. You know what God has imparted in you, and you won't be trying to do what somebody else has been anointed to do. All right, so let's go back, amen, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 1. Amen. And can I get a volunteer to read?
I'm ready to go.
Amen. Verse 1. We're going to start at verse 1. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal.
Amen. And I want to stop there real quick. Amen. And looking back, amen, and I want to read to you real quick from the Amplified version, amen. Verse 3 says in the Amplified, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit of God can ever say Jesus be cursed. And no one can really say Jesus is my Lord except by and under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments, gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of the divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. And they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. And there are distinctive varieties of service and ministration, but it is the same Lord who is served. And there are distinctive varieties of operation, of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all in all. And so this is something that we want to look at because in the body of Christ, we tend to see that sometimes there's some competition, and that's not healthy. And it's not the will of God that we be in competition one with another. Amen. It's bad that we don't understand that God has gifted each one of us to do a specific work. Amen. And instead of us, walking in that work that he has called us to walk in, we tend to look at others and say, well, wow, God is using them like that. I wish God would use me like that. And then we tend to try to get off, we end up getting off track and trying to do what somebody else was doing. But verse 6 is saying there are distinctive varieties. There are different ways that we all are going to operate. Okay, we do things differently to try, to accomplish the will of God. But even though God has given us each a different way to operate in the Spirit, we got to understand it's still the same Spirit. And I don't think that we're confused or got it twisted about that it's just one Spirit. I think that we got it twisted about the fact that, God has called us to do a specific work, and we need to be content with the work that he has put in our hands and not trying to do something else. And it is so important that even as God begins to grow us all, amen, in our giftings and, in the anointing that's on our life, that we understand who we are and who we're not. Because you have different kinds of prophets, you have different kinds of apostles, amen, and we're going to talk about those different types of apostles and prophets or whatever. You have some pastors who flow in the prophetic, but they're not prophets. You have evangelists who can flow in the prophetic, and they prophesy, but they are strictly been called to be evangelists. And so, sometimes people get to the point where, okay, well, I prophesied, and I had a couple of dreams, so I guess I must be a prophet. And so we have to understand the difference between operating in the gift and being called to be that gift. Amen? And when I say being called to be that gift, I mean that gift that has been positioned in the body by Christ that is spoken of in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Okay? And so once we get saved and we get hold of God, amen, and the Lord begins to grow us, amen, and we begin to grow in the things of God, we have to become comfortable, and I use that term loosely, to be comfortable in what he's called us to do, understanding that because there's a diversity of operation, we are not going to be able to put two prophets in a room and they flow the same way. We are not going to be able to put two apostles in the room, or even four for that matter, and they all flow the same way. That is just not going to happen, because we have all been given a different measure of grace. And because of that grace, and because of that specific call that is upon our life, God has caused us to function and to operate differently, because we have a different mandate on our lives. Amen. All of us are not called to minister in the inner city. All of us are not called to minister, amen, to leaders. All of us are not called to youth ministry, to minister to the young people. Everybody has a specific realm that you have to deal with within your specific call. And so once we embrace that, be able to embrace what it is that we possess, we're not going to be tripping when we see God is not using us like he's using, somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And that's what we got to be honest with ourselves. How many times have we been in a service and seen somebody operate and say, man, God don't even, he don't use me like that. So I wonder if I should be really doing this, I wonder, should I be even saying that I'm apostle? I wonder, should I be saying that I'm evangelist? Or what is it that I'm saying? I mean, because I don't flow like everybody else, And so you have to learn to measure yourself by the word of God and know and have an understanding of what it is that God has called you to and what is the message. Because every believer, when you get saved and you mature, and especially apostles and prophets, because there's a specific place that, God has called us to as apostles and prophets, God is going to give you a message. You're going to He's going to give you a message, and you'll find that even as you read in the Old Testament, you see how the prophets operated. You will see that they all had a specific message, and I don't care if Israel did repent. I don't care what they did. They always came back full circle to the message that God had given them to deliver to the people initially. Okay, and sometimes people say, well, dag, you don't never say nothing nice. Do you ever have anything encouraging to say? You know, and that's not to say that as a prophet that you're not going to have an encouraging word, but even to some, the word that you bring that you know is an encouragement, to others, they're going to feel like, okay, you know, you just like Micaiah, I don't want to hear your voice, you know. I don't want to hear what you got to say because you're not going to bring me no good news. So we got to understand our call. Amen. Go ahead and finish reading, missionary. Verse 7.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing of the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
And I want you to look at that. Hold on. I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second. I want you to look at that. That it is as he will. And who is he? It is as the Spirit of God wills. As God wills. That is how these gifts, amen, are given to us. And I really want to look at, go back to verse 7. And verse 7 says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And Amplified says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, or the evidence. This is your evidence, and not just for you, but for those who are watching you manifest the power of God in your life. Amen. There should be some evidence that God is with you. Amen. I don't want you to just say God is with you. Amen. I want to be able to see that God is with you. Amen. And the world needs to be able to see that God is with you. And even Jesus, when he said that, if he was speaking to, amen, to those who to whom he was bringing his message, he said, if you don't believe me for the word's sake, believe me for my works. Amen. So he was saying, if you can't get with what I'm saying to you, you don't understand the message, look at the manifestation. So even if you want to deny the message, you can't deny the manifestation that God is in the midst of you. And so this is the place that we have to be. It's wonderful for us to have a teaching ministry. And I love teaching, amen. And it's wonderful for us to have a preaching ministry. If you want to preach, amen, amen. And we was talking earlier, amen, to somebody talking about people hooping and carrying on in the church. And that's fine if that's what you like to do. But somebody should be able to walk away after you have finished ministering and know that there has been a manifestation of the presence and the power of God. Amen. Not just, oh my God, didn't she preach? Oh my God, didn't he preach? It's got to be something more than that.
Amen.
Amen. And so the Spirit of God has been given to each one of us so that the power of God can be manifested in us. Amen. And have that evidence that we have received spiritual illumination from God. Amen. That they will be able to understand that there is something that you are saying that you got it from God. There is something, amen, that you are manifesting that they had to know that it came from God. And that this is not just, you know, another, you know, just somebody giving them their, you know, their own personal opinion about things. Amen. And so you got to understand that the Spirit of God, and that's really, that's what this class is about. This is our formal, you know, we go to school, we get a formal education in natural things. Amen. We are getting a formal prophetic education. We need to be able to be educated in the things of the Spirit, to be able to know what is God and what is not God. Amen. So that we'll be able to, amen, discern the difference between the power of God moving in our midst, amen, and flesh moving in our midst. Because we have watched too much flesh on parade as it is.
Amen.
Amen. And in the times that we are living in, amen, we cannot afford to watch another show of flesh. Amen. And the scripture talks about those who have made a fair show in the flesh. Amen. We don't have no time for that. The days of the Broadway show of the flesh is over. They've been over. Amen. But we got to get tired of looking at it. We got to begin to cry out to God for a manifestation, for the evidence of the fact that He is with us, so that the world will know, so that they cannot deny that God is of a truth with us. And this is why you got to know what it is that you possess. You got to understand that, you know, God has set you in the body to bring maturity. Amen. The teacher is here to bring maturity. The apostle and the prophet, amen, and the evangelist and the pastor, all of these gifts together have been placed in the body to bring maturity, to bring edification, to help us to keep our vision, amen, stayed on Christ and not on ourselves. Amen. So verse 8 says, to one is given through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom, and to another the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding. But all of this is according to the same Spirit. To another wonder-working faith by the same, the Holy Spirit, amen, by the same Holy Spirit, to another the extraordinary powers of healing by one Spirit. And I mean, really, and we got to ask ourselves, have we really seen the power of God flowing out of us? We might have seen a lot of other stuff flowing out of us, but have we really seen the power of God coming out of us to the extent that others know that we have a relationship with God? And that's a serious question. That's a serious question. Amen. And matter of fact, it's more than a question. It's a charge. Amen. Ooh. That's a charge, amen, against the church at large. Amen. Against the body of Christ, you know, collectively. Because we have gotten lazy. We have forgotten what our purpose is. We have gotten caught up in other things, that we have lost the mentality, amen, that we're supposed to be having ourselves, having our mind about spiritual things. And so it is in times like this, amen, where we're coming together and we're learning, amen, of one another. We're learning of the things of God and reminding ourselves what it is that we have been placed here for. Why is it that God has placed us in the body, you know, for such a time as this? And what is it that God has ordained for us to do? Amen. And it is so important that we understand what it is that God has called us to do. And I know a lot of us still may have questions about what it is that God has called us to do, and, you know, how we're going to be able to bring those things to pass, you know, and how we're going to accomplish the will of God. But this is the hour that we need to be on our faces seeking God about what He wants us to do. And not just waiting for somebody to come and lay hands on you and say, yea, the Lord would say unto you, I see you, you are a prophet, you are an apostle. You need to get on your face so that when somebody comes to prophesy to you, it's only confirmation.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. But we have come to the place that we have relied so heavily on somebody else prophesying to us that we forgot that God wants to talk to us Himself.
That's right.
He wants to talk to us Himself. He don't want us to have information secondhand. He wants you to understand that, amen, there's information that He wants to give you, and He wants to give you that information face to face, just from His mouth to your ears. And so we have to understand even these gifts. And I'm going to tell you something. It's something that I learned, amen, and I haven't read it in the book because I haven't seen people really talk about this. A lot of times, you know, when you buy a book and it's talking about fasting, you buy a book about getting in the presence of God, they usually give you all these steps you got to take just so you can hear from God, discerning, you know, the voice of God and all that stuff. They're trying to tell you that you got to first do this and then next do that. Let me tell you something. Just get in the presence of God. One step. Get in the presence of God, because when you talk to God, he's going to talk back. And there's so much that God wants to say to us, but we got to position ourselves to be able to hear. Amen? But we're seeing, amen, in these verses that Paul is going down the list and he's explaining to the church at Corinth, amen, and even to us that they are all these diversities of operation of these gifts, but it's all from the same Spirit, amen. It doesn't matter, amen, if you have a healing ministry. It doesn't matter if you, amen, can interpret tongues. It doesn't matter if you have the gift of faith. All of this is from the same Spirit. And all of these gifts are going to edify the body, because you're going to have somebody. You'll find somebody who's going through and who needs healing in their body, amen. And if you have the gift of faith, but you may not find that you have the gift of healing, amen, but you can believe God, it's just that same gift of faith is going to operate, amen, in the same way that the gift of healing would work. Because you're going to believe God for their healing, whereas that person may not have the faith to believe God for their healing. So on your faith, you can reach out to God for somebody else to be healed. Amen. So we got to learn how to get a hold of God. I want to look at, before we finish reading 12, I'm going to refer back to that. But the other thing I want to get into before we start talking about how these gifts operate and so forth, I want to look, just turn your page and look at 1 Corinthians 13 and look at the first verse. And I know we've heard this before, but I'm going to reiterate it because, as I said, we are getting our education prophetically so, amen. And so we need to be reminded of some things as we proceed, amen, in our classes, amen. And the first thing that we have to always keep in our forefront is this first verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Which says, if I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I'm only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And one of the things that we cannot forget is that everything that we do, every gift that operates in the body, is supposed to be motivated by love. You don't prophesy to people because, you know, you just have a love for telling people that they're wrong or putting people in their place. Amen. These gifts operate because of love. Because of love, amen, and you'll see that when you look in the scriptures, you see that Jesus, when he looked on the multitude, amen, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. His compassion caused him to do something. And so if we really want to see the power of God really move in us and operate in our churches, then what we need to do is we need to get our love life right. Because if we get our love life right, then the power of God will begin to move in us again. Because love will cause us to be compassionate. Love will cause us to look on the needs of others and see that those needs need to be met. So when Jesus looked on the multitude and he saw they was hungry, he saw fit to perform a miracle so that they could eat. Likewise, us, when we look at people, do we just look at them and say, oh, she's phony. Oh, she's not real. She get on my nerves. She always trying to get attention. He's always trying to get attention. Amen. We always look at the carnal things that we see people doing, but can we look past that and look in the spirit and see the way God sees so that people's lives can be delivered? Amen. We here on the line tonight.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. We got to get our love life right. I know we get irritated with each other sometimes, Amen. And I know that we have, you know, different things that bother us, you know. And I know we get impatient with one another. But if we're going to see the gifts of God moving and operating and manifesting in our midst, we got to get our love life right. God is not going to move in our midst if we don't love one another. We can forget about it. All we will have is a gathering. We'll have great preaching, great singing, but there won't be a manifestation of the presence and power of God because there's no love. So love wants to see people delivered. Love wants to see people healed. Love wants to see people set free. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, we talked about the fact that we are receiving our education right now. Amen. And it's important that we receive this education because we don't want to make shipwreck. Amen. We don't want to get out there and just be speaking in tongues and prophesying to folk and then, number one, living a shabby life. Number two, not having a basis of understanding what is prophetic and what isn't. No, some things we call prophetic are not prophetic. They're pathetic. And we need to get the difference right. Amen. And we need to be able to understand what it is that God has called us to do. Amen. And be able to fulfill that. And I believe that even as the scripture says, with all your getting, get understanding, you can't do what you don't understand. You know, you can't walk in something if you have no knowledge of it, if you have no understanding of it. Amen. And you can have a limited knowledge, amen, of what it is that God has called you to do, but it won't be perfected and you won't walk in the fullness of it if you don't really understand what your mandate is. If you don't understand what it is that God has ordained for you to do, you won't be able to complete the job. If Jesus was unsure of what his task was when he got here, he wouldn't have been able to fulfill the call of God. And so that's something that we have to understand. You got to know what it is that God has ordained for you to do. And you got to know what's in you. All right. Going and looking at your books, what do I possess? And I know that was a long introduction, but it's necessary that we get this understanding. Amen. The nine gifts of the Spirit can be divided into three categories. Okay. And tonight, as we break up these categories, we're going to talk about gifting versus operation, because there's a difference between being gifted in the area and operating in that area. Okay. Those categories are three gifts that reveal something, three gifts that say something, and three gifts that do something. These are gifts of revelation, gifts of utterance, and gifts of power. Okay, and we're going to talk about the power gifts, and these are also listed here in Scripture. Ephesians 2:8 tells us that every believer has faith, amen, and we've received a gift from God, okay? Saving faith is given to you through hearing the word of God. Amen. You see that in Romans 10:17. But in this lesson, we are talking about special faith, whereby a believer is empowered to work wonders. The gift of faith is the greater of the three power gifts. Remember that all the gifts of the Spirit operate through ordinary or general faith on the part of the believer through which the gift is being manifested. One must step out in faith and yield to the prompting of the Holy Ghost. In other words, if somebody has the gift of faith, number one, you're going to have to take the risk to step out by faith to operate that gift of faith. Amen? You can't expect to just, you know, I have the gift of faith, but then you never use it. Amen? The Bible says faith without works is dead. So you're not going to just say you have faith and you don't do nothing with it. Amen. The gift of faith, amen, is the gift that is manifested for miracles, amen, for times, amen, of crisis, for times, amen, of believing God for things and for other people. There are times, amen, and we talked about that a few minutes ago, about how sometimes somebody may not be able to believe God, but you do believe God. And so a lot of times when people come to you and they're asking you for prayer and they want you to pray them through for certain situations, they're leaning on your faith. So we have to learn how to exercise our faith. Amen. And the Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And this gift of faith is fed through the word of God. All right. Then there's the gift of working miracles. What is a miracle? A miracle is a supernatural intervention by God in the ordinary cause of nature. Amen. And we see some verses that talk about that. And even as we look back into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it says, to another wonder-working faith, to the same, by the same Spirit, excuse me, sorry about that, to another, the extraordinary powers of healing by the one Spirit. Amen. Where are the miracles? Where are the testimonies of people being healed anymore? And I hear people saying, you know, the Lord said that I'm going to have a healing ministry and blah, 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 blah. Well, where is it? You know, and it's time out for us to stop saying, you know, God has spoken this over our life, but we're not manifesting it. Amen. It's time for us to manifest what God has spoken over us. Amen. And I'm sure, amen, for us that's on the line, we want to see God manifest through us the things that have been spoken, amen, over our lives.
Amen.
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 Amen. Then there's the gift of healing. The gifts of healing are manifested supernatural healings of sickness and disease without any natural source of means. Amen. Amen. The gift of healing doesn't need help with chemotherapy. The gift of healing does not need, amen. Am I saying that just because a person went through chemo that they weren't healed? Because some people don't even make it through chemo, and I'm aware of that. But what I'm saying is, we need to understand that when God intervenes, there is an intervention that comes from God that doesn't need our assistance.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about us seeing God manifest in such a way that we don't have to intervene. That God does the work based on the fact that he is God.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the deal, saints, if we don't believe him for it, we're not going to see it. If we don't position ourselves, amen, for this power of God to fall out of us, then we're not going to see it. Amen. And every generation that ever saw the power of God had to do something for that power to be manifest in them. And by that, I don't mean jumping through hoops. I mean positioning ourselves in the presence of God. And we have, and I love the fact that we have books and, you know, all those things, because I've been blessed by some who have written some awesome books that have been such an encouragement and have helped me, amen, as I've grown, amen, in the Lord. But what I'm saying is that we've got to get to a place where we rely on God to be God and to do the things that his word says that he will do. Us to get a hold of him and let him give us, amen, the power of the Holy Spirit, not just to speak in tongues, because nowadays that's the only power of the Holy Ghost we see manifested is tongue talking. But we want to see, you know, anybody else on the line want to see more than just folks in church shouting and dancing and speaking in tongues?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah,
yes.
Hallelujah, amen.
Yes.
We got to see something more than that. And in order to be able to see that, we are going to have to position ourselves. We don't have to wait for somebody to come and lay hands and say, you know, I'm going to stand in agreement with you that the power of God is going to flow. You can get a hold of God. Because the Bible says that this, amen, is given to every, amen, these spiritual gifts have been given to every man. But it's up to us to receive what gifts God has put in us. If he has given you, amen, the gift of faith, use it. You got to operate in that thing. You got to work that gift that he has given you. Amen. If he has given you, amen, the gift of healing, if the Lord has spoken to you about, amen, giving you healing ministry, then you need to take them hands that he has given you and you need to lay them on somebody and believe God for their healing.
Man.
And I heard somebody say one time before, amen, that when the Lord spoke that to him, he laid hands on folks, and some folks that he prayed for, they died.
And he got discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
So he said to himself he was not going to stop praying until he saw God manifest what he said he was going to do. Where is our faith like that?
Faith, Jesus.
Where is our trust in God that he has given us his spirit to do more than say, Shanda Bashanda?
Mm-hmm.
He has given us his spirit for more than that. He has given us his spirit for more than just to prophesy. Prophecy is wonderful. We thank God for prophecy because it brings encouragement. It brings strengthening. It warns us ahead of time when God speaks to us prophetically. But the prophet's job is not just to prophesy. That is just a small portion of the call. Some prophets don't ever even say, thus saith the Lord. Some of them get prophetic words just from reading the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And preach a prophetic message. But we got to get to a place that we understand what it is that we possess. What do you possess? What has God given you? What has he anointed you with when he filled you with the Holy Ghost? What did he impart in you? And this question is somewhat like even how God said to Moses. Amen. When Moses was facing Pharaoh, God said to him, what's in your hand? And God will always do that to us. He has to remind us, what have I given you? What have I put in you? What's in your hand, saints? What do you possess? Let's not look at each other and try to figure out what does prophetess so-and-so have. No, what do you have? What did God give you? How did he anoint you? What mandate has he put on your life? And if you're not sure, and if you're still seeking him about what it is that he's called you to do, now is the time to get on your face before him. And I know we all have busy schedules. I know we have a lot on our plates, but I'm telling you, if we would be so serious about our relationship with God, God will meet us when we go to meet him. He will meet us, and he will speak to us, and he will impart in us all that we need. And the thing about it is we got to understand it's not us. It's not us who's doing the work. It is God doing the work. It is his spirit through us doing the work. And then we got to fall in love with Jesus all over again so that we can fall in love with the brethren, so we can fall in love with the saints of God.
Amen.
We're so aggravated by each other that we can't love each other enough to be able to minister to one another. And that's a very, very important issue. That's a very important issue. And I say that, amen, even, you know, being a pastor, and I know sometimes we get weighed down, and sometimes we get frustrated, we get aggravated, or whatever, but always, always have to remember that these are God's people. And they come, amen, to church, amen, because they have needs and they're seeking after God. Your neighbor that sit next to you in church is there because they need something from God. What happens if they come to church and you have what they need, but you don't open your mouth to share with them what God has given you? It's not just the pastor's job to minister. Amen. And I have said before during our teaching that we have got to learn that when we come to church, we have a responsibility to minister one to another, to be sensitive to God. Stop saying gimme, gimme, gimme throughout the entire service long enough to be able to say, God, is there something that you want me to do in this service today? God, is there somebody that you want me to say something to in this service today? Father, how do you want to use me this morning in church? How about it's Wednesday night, God, or Tuesday night, or whatever night we have Bible study, and I know we're going in to hear a lesson, but God, is there a word for the people of God that you want me to share? Is there something? Is somebody coming to church tonight that's going to have a need, and they need what I possess so that I can give them what they need and they can be healed and be delivered?
Jesus.
What do you possess? What giftings have the Lord imparted into you? And how are you operating in those gifts? Amen. We're still talking about, amen, how we can function, amen, in the things of God. We're talking about, amen, the different categories of gifts that have been placed in the body. We've already discussed the gift of faith, the gift of working miracles, the gift of healing. Now we're going on to the gifts of utterance. And the first one is the gift of tongues. This is a supernatural ability to speak by the Holy Spirit, and language is never learned by a person, neither understood by that person. The gift of tongues has two uses, private and public. Tongues spoken usually in privacy are those that are for personal edification and magnifying God. And I need to add to this, there are times that we pray, amen, in tongues. And there are times we are praying for people that we have never met, that we have never seen, nor will we ever meet or see. But the Spirit of God will give us what to
That's
pray
true.
For as
That's
we ought to pray. These are called unknown tongues. Tongues that are spoken aloud, usually in public, to be interpreted by standers by, are called known tongues. Okay, and now here it also says that, let us acknowledge that tongues are the initial sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. They are initial sign, and I want to say that it's initial. It's not the only sign. You know, and I know that's a doctrinal issue for some. Amen. I'm not trying to tell you that that's the only sign that you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because I've learned that that's not the only sign that you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. The sign that you've been filled with the Holy Ghost is a transformed life.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Because you got some folks, and I have seen it, they can speak in tongues. Amen. Sound like they just, you know, fluent in some other kind of language, but can't live a hill of beans.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So the proof that you have really, really received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling, amen, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is a changed life. Is a life that is transformed, that no longer goes back, amen, as the dog returning to his vomit. That's the proof, amen. Not just speaking in tongues, but a transformed life. Okay? All right, and so sometimes people stop at, okay, he or she has been filled with the Holy Ghost. I heard them speak in tongues, and we think that that's the end of the road, and then we don't bring them on to maturity because we heard them speak in tongues, and we thought that was it. We got to go beyond that. Amen. We got to go into the lifestyle. Amen. And by teaching and training, ensure, amen, true transformation. Amen. All right, and so then there's also the gift of interpretation of tongues. Okay? And I want to say something, amen, before we even get into that, is also the fact that you have some folks who they are so spiritual. God bless them. They're so spiritual. They disrupt the services, speak in tongues out loud over the whole congregation as if they get ready to come with an interpretation, as if they have a word from God. Used to be that's how people would proceed a word, you know. Somebody would speak in tongues and the whole church would get quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that very, very often anymore. You know, somebody would speak in tongues and the whole church would get quiet.
Yeah.
And then somebody would come with the interpretation. Okay? You don't have to go off in tongues for God to speak to you. You know, and you know, I'm being very careful on how I say what I have to say because a lot of things we have done it out of religiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we learned traditionally, that before God manifests himself, we go off in tongues. And when we finish speaking in tongues, then we got a prophetic word.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times the Lord will speak to you, you know, and you receive impressions, and you will hear things, amen, the Lord will speak to you, amen, during a service. You don't even have to be speaking in tongues. Amen, and he will give you the word to speak to the people. And this comes from us being being sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. And a lot of times I find that when you have people, they got to speak in tongues for an hour and then prophesying, and in between their prophecies, they speaking in tongues. What is that? God is not stuck. He know what he got to say.
Amen.
Come on, amen. Now, if that's how you prophesy, I'm not picking at you. But I'm trying to explain to you that there is a place where you can hear from God. Amen. You can hear from him, and you don't have to go through all of this, all of these conniptions to hear from God. If you're spending time with God on a regular basis, your ear is tuned to his voice.
That's right. Amen.
And you can hear him. Amen. And what are you going to do if the Lord calls you, amen, and opens the door for you to go to some unlearned people who ain't never been in church?
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
You going to speak in tongues before you give them the word of the Lord?
So
you better
right.
come in with a word. Amen.
Preach.
You got to be able to hear God. And a lot of times when folks are speaking in tongues, you know, in between their prophecies is because they can't hear.
That's it.
They're stalling. And I know some folks don't like that, but that's the reality. We got to know, amen, God is not stuck. He don't stutter. We might stutter, but he don't stutter.
Mm-hmm.
And when God speaks, he speaks fluently.
He does.
And so we got to have our ear tuned to him. All right. The gift of interpretation of tongues. This is a supernatural ability to show forth the meaning of an utterance in other tongues. The gift of tongues, along with the gift of interpretation of tongues, is equal in impact and authority to a prophecy. So, in other words, when somebody has the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues, that word that they're interpreting is a prophecy. Okay? There are times where people will be, you know, they could be in prayer or whatever, and they begin to speak in tongues, and somebody else will hear those tongues and be able to interpret what they are saying. Okay? Do not confuse translation of tongues with interpretation. In translating the language, you generally reconstruct a phrase or sentence into another to be able to grasp its meaning, which can be diverse depending on the dialect of the hearer. Interpretation, however, is different. Have you ever attended an art gallery or beheld a painting that seemingly spoke certain words to you? Have you ever heard a song and it relayed a sort of message to you? Have you then spoken to the originator of that musical piece or painting and then found that the message you perceived was not the message the originator was trying to convey? So it is with the interpretation of tongues. The interpretation is in the mind of the originator. God knows what he means to say. So he don't need for us to try to, you know, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Okay, ta-ta means, let me see what that means. And we come up with something. He knows what he's saying. He doesn't have to, amen, try to figure it out before he can give it to you. Amen. I know that just sounds like, okay, well, that's just stupid. Why are you saying that? Because you'll be surprised what people think is spiritual. You'll be surprised, and then maybe again, you might not be surprised what some people call spiritual.
Not in this day.
Amen. Exactly. Exactly. So we need to understand these gifts. The next thing is the gift of prophecy. This is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue. Prophecy is the most important of the three utterance gifts. Why would prophecy be the most important? It's given revelation, but the prophecies are usually given to edify, to encourage, to admonish, So when those prophecies come, those words are coming to bring, amen, illumination and understanding and encouragement to other people. And so we want to be able to, you know, be free to prophesy so that we can be an encouragement to others.
Right.
If you're speaking in tongues, I'm not really encouraged by that.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Because I don't
especially
know what
if you don't
saying.
Know what I'm saying.
Amen. And unless the Lord gives the interpretation, I'm not going to know. And so we have to be able to, you know, and remember we said all these gifts operate by love. When we love one another, we want to have our ears tuned to God so we can hear, okay, God, what does that mean? And really when we in tune and we walking in love, you don't even have to ask God what it means. When the Lord wants to bring interpretation, he's going to bring it.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to be available.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to be available. All right, let's look real quick. I know we were still looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at 14, chapter 14. Okay. And look at verse 5. I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. And it says, "Now I wish that you might all speak in unknown tongues, but more especially, I want you to prophesy, to be inspired to preach, and interpret the divine will and purpose. He who prophesies is inspired to preach and teach, is greater, more useful, and more important than he who speaks in unknown tongues, unless he should interpret what he says, so that the church may be edified and receive good from it." So it's no good, amen, for us to tear up the church speaking in tongues. Nobody's edified by that.
That's right. But the person that's doing it.
Amen. So we need to seek to edify the church. And that changes our perspective about the gifts altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Because we feel like, well, I'm supposed to, you know, go in and pray. Amen. And amen. And speak over myself and prophesy to myself and speak in tongues and do all these other things. But how is what I'm doing edifying the body? And just think back of this, just this past week. How have the gifts that God has given you, how have they edified the body of Christ this past week? The things that God has given you. If you have the gift of prophecy, have you used it to edify the body this week? If you have the gift of interpretation of tongues, whose tongues have you edified? I mean, have you translated this last week? So that the body would be edified. You know, these are things that we have to think about. Amen. It changes the perspective when we understand that these gifts are not just for us to feel good about ourselves. You know, it's not just for you to have a word every time somebody walk up to you. The Lord told me. And you know what? Did I tell you that the Lord spoke to me? You know, that's not what this is about. A lot of times, some people do that because, you know, they're looking for attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we got to ask ourselves, what are we using our gifts for?
Amen.
Amen. What are we using our gifts for? All right. In Hebrew, to prophesy means to flow forth, to bubble forth like a fountain, to let drop, to lift up, to tumble forth, to speak forth. In Greek, to prophesy means to speak for another. These definitions embody the way in which prophecy is to be handled. Let us know and understand each of these. Amen. We don't want to just be bubbling forth any old thing. We want to speak for God. We want to speak what the Lord is saying. Amen.
Man.
All right. The gift of prophecy in its simplest form edifies, exhorts, and comforts the body of Christ, either by the combining of tongues and the interpretation of
tongues or just speaking forth under the unction of the Holy Spirit in the language of your hearers. There is no deep revelation in the gift of prophecy in its simplest form. You just speak the word of God. And I mean, I think I said this before, and we're going to say it. I'm going to say it again, and you'll probably hear it again and again. When you prophesying, please don't prophesy in the King James. Yea, the Lord will say unto thee. We don't talk like that. And I know
no.
You hear God talking like that. And it cracks me up to hear people get up prophesying in the King James.
Mm-hmm.
As if it sounds, it makes the word more profound.
Nothing mystical about it.
Right, exactly. Amen. And so we got to learn, look, just get up and say what God say. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If they shout and dance behind it, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen. Praise God. All right. So anyone who has the Holy Spirit inside them has the potential to speak for God. So we all have to understand that. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you don't have to be a prophet to prophesy.
That's right.
Amen. And if you are a prophet, that's not going to be your only job.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to. A prophet, a mature prophet, has more than that can flow in more than one area. Should be flowing in more than one area. A prophet has the ability, a mature prophet has the ability to, you'll find that most mature prophets can do, you know, they've been anointed to do more than one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to do it well. And so you got to understand where you are and what God has called you to do. Amen, and how he's called you to do it. Okay? Now, we want to talk about the difference between foretelling and forthtelling.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say fortune telling.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Foretelling versus forthtelling. Foretelling is prediction.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we find many of the Old Testament prophets were operating in. Okay? And it was the way that God used to win many of those adulterous nations to him by, you know, by showing his power. Okay? In this dispensation of prophecy, the prophets were authenticated by their worthiness of their predictions. If they couldn't pass a simple test of their predictions being accurate, then they were deemed false or untrue. Nowadays, I want to say that it's more than just your prophecies coming to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what separates a true prophet from a false prophet is that a false prophet cannot live what he preaches or prophesies. I don't care how hard he tries, he can't live right. That's what makes him false. And here's a little sidebar. If we don't have our lifestyles together and we live in shabby now, amen, and we're calling ourselves prophets, We've already set ourselves up as candidates to be false prophets, because it's your lifestyle that makes you true or false.
That's right.
It's your lifestyle. You can prophesy on point, hit the nail on the head. Folks can fall out in the floor. People can get filled with the Holy Ghost. But if you live in shabby, you false. And this is where we got to have accountability. Amen. This is why, even after this class is over, that we need to be able to talk with each other and encourage each other and see, you know, develop relationship with one another and find out where one another are,
mm-hmm.
and what's going on with one another, so that we know, amen, what's right and what's not right about each other. That's what love does.
Mm-hmm.
Love will cause us to get involved. Amen. Amen. So we got to get beyond just our own selves. Okay? All right. The New Testament prophets may do some foretelling, but they lean more to forthtelling. This involves speaking on behalf of God, be it using the vehicle of prophecy or just standing and speaking in the authority of God in a language understood by the hearers. And this is where you'll find a lot of problems that prophets have today. Because when you begin to stand up and speak forth or speak in the place, you know, for God. Speaking for God and speaking in that authority that God has given you, that's going to make folks mad.
You ain't joking.
It made folks mad at Jesus, and it's going to make folks mad at us.
You are not joking at all. That is for real.
When you start saying what God is saying,
mm-hmm.
and you're saying it the way God is saying it,
mm-hmm.
sometimes people get a little angry.
A lot of anger.
And what we have to learn how to do is we have to learn how, and it's very important, and I believe I've said this before, but you got to get to a place where you don't let nobody switch your message.
That's right.
Don't let nobody switch your message. Don't get in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
When you see people acting out of character because you're standing up there saying whatever God told you to say, and people get up and start walking out.
Yes.
And you know how sometimes we start, you know, we the one up there with the mic, and so sometimes we might be like, you know, y'all don't like me and all kind of stuff like that. Look, all of that is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares if anybody likes us?
That's right.
Stick to the message. I mean, I know that was just very matter of fact, but really, we just got to stick to the message.
That's right.
We just have to, you know, don't let people switch you, because we don't want to do what Moses did when God told him to speak to the rock and he smote the rock because
mm-hmm.
the people made him
right.
mad.
Right.
Okay, and then he ended up missing out on the promises of God because of his own anger, because he let people push him to the brink of having reactions and doing things that God didn't tell him to do. And the Bible tells us that all these things that we see in Scripture have been written for our example. So you cannot forget. You know, don't forget this. This is your prophetic education. Don't you forget
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget what you are hearing. Don't forget the things that you are being reminded of today. Because believe me, the time is definitely, if you have not experienced it, the time is coming where people are going to try you to that place to try to get you to switch your message.
That's
they don't
right.
know that that's
right.
what they're doing, but the enemy knows it.
Mm-hmm. I've experienced
and you don't,
it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you don't have to do things to try to prove that you're God's anointed. You don't have to do that.
Amen, prophetess. Amen.
You don't have to prove yourself. Just do what God has spoken to you to do. Jesus wasn't running around saying, people, okay, do you believe me now? Do you believe me? Come on, please believe me. I'm the Son of God. I'm trying to tell you I'm Jesus. Do you know who I am? Jesus didn't go around doing that. He knew what he possessed. He knew what was in him. He knew the charge that the Father had given him. And he stuck to that. And he was secure in that. And we have got to be the same way. We got to do the same thing. And I don't care how hard it gets. And it's going to get harder. Believe me. But you got to obey God. So you're going to have to learn how to just stand and speak for God. If it means you prophesying and speaking prophetically, whatever God is saying, or by you just speaking the word of the Lord and just declaring the truth of God's word and saying it in the authority of God on his behalf. Whatever he tells you to say, however he uses the gifts in you, you got to let God be God in you. You have to let God be God in you. And it's important that we do that. Amen. It's important that we stick to what we know God has told us to do. Don't let people try to push us, you know, into other things.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You got to understand, amen, you know, because a technical term for doing what God has called you to do and operating in the place what he's called you to do, amen, that technical term is pneumatics. You got to understand, you know, pneumatics. You got to understand what God has anointed you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You got to understand what God has called you to do. You got to understand how he operates through you.
You got to understand that. And don't let people come to you and try to say to you, well, you're not supposed to do that. Why you say that when you was up preaching? People will always have questions about things.
Yes.
Give them a nice answer. Listen, I just said what the Lord told me to say.
Mhm.
Amen. All right, we're moving on to the gifts of revelation. Moving on to the gifts of revelation. All right, number one, the gift of the word of wisdom. And I know sometimes people get these mixed up, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody know the difference between the two without looking at your notes?
Mm-hmm.
Without
looking the word of wisdom is the application of the word of knowledge. How to apply it.
What does that mean?
In other words, it's telling you exactly what to do as far as that word of knowledge is concerned.
Okay.
I would say that the word of wisdom is knowing something. It's the wisdom of God and you not knowing it on your own.
Okay.
I would say that the word of wisdom, it tells you, this is what to do. And knowledge tells you why it's like that you have to do that. Knowledge gives you understanding,
mm-hmm.
and you can use the wisdom that is given you.
Okay.
Word of wisdom gives you the past, the future, and the word of knowledge shows you the past and the present.
Okay. Say that again.
Word of wisdom is for the future, and the word
okay.
of knowledge is regarding the past and the present.
Okay. Anybody else want to add? Okay. We want to understand that the word of wisdom is not just having wisdom. You know, the word of wisdom is, and you all said said some things that were similar, but I just wanted, I didn't say yay or nay because I wanted to just listen to what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But the word of wisdom tells you how
mm-hmm.
to apply what you have heard.
Okay?
It gives you instruction on how to do what God has spoken to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It gives you the when and the where. It's not just having wisdom.
Right.
Okay, but it's revelation, it's a revelational when and where. You
mm-hmm.
get revelation on how to do the things that God wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's when the word of wisdom comes, God comes to bring you instruction and give you revelation on how to accomplish his will.
Right.
Am I saying that so that you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You receive. God may give you instruction, and you may receive a prophecy. Receive a prophetic word, and the Lord does speak to you about things that you are supposed to be doing and that you're going to be doing. And
mm-hmm.
as the word of wisdom, God will give you the word of wisdom to show you
how to
bring to pass
okay.
those things that he has spoken to you.
Mm-hmm.
He give you revelation. Because sometimes the things that the Lord has asked us to do or shown us that we're going to do, sometimes we say to ourselves, Lord, how in the world
mm-hmm.
am I going to be able to do this? And anybody, doing ministry, you understand that that's always the first question.
Yeah.
How in the world
that's right.
am I going to be able to do this? But every time that you ask that how, that word of wisdom comes to show you the how, the when, the why, and all the rest of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's revelational. It's not just, okay, I could have, you know, I could have talked to my neighbor and they could have gave me that answer.
Mm-mm. Because it's God's wisdom.
That's right. That's right. So he's giving you his wisdom, and you're receiving it. It's revelational. It's revelatory. I should say that's the word. I don't think revelational is the word, but it's revelatory, and it's not just everyday common wisdom.
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right, and then we have we looked at. When you go back to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 8, it tells you also about the, that's verse 8, it tells you about, yes, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge also comes by revelation,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and gives you facts, gives you information that you did not previously know.
Right.
You didn't know,
mm-hmm.
Okay, about people, about places, about
mm-hmm.
things. They can be past or present.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, anytime you have a spiritual person who, you know, or somebody's prophesying to you and it's always about the past,
mm-hmm.
that is a familiar spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you get a prophecy, that person's prophesying, and the only thing they can talk to you about is your past, that is a familiar spirit, because the familiar spirit is full of information.
Mm-hmm.
And back in your books, when you have that diagram of
the kingdom,
the spiritual realm,
mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan, and in between that is the familiar spirit,
mm-hmm.
and underneath that you see the natural realm, ruling the senses, the issues,
mm-hmm.
all of those things. Amen. Are fed all those natural issues, everything pertaining into the flesh, everything pertaining to the senses and the natural realm, amen, is funneled through the familiar spirit. That familiar spirit can pick up all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Question.
Yes.
That's the spirit that's
okay, wait a minute. It's,
all right.
There's two people talking. I'm sorry.
Oh. All right, I've been here.
Okay, just go ahead, one at a time. Go ahead.
And I was just saying that the spirit that the fortune tellers and the psychics and stuff operate under.
Yes, that's familiar spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Full of information, and they always want to prophesy or give you a read your fortune about your marriage. About your, you know, whatever relationships, about money, and all the rest of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff that's up in the sense realm, in the natural realm. Amen. Go ahead. Who else was asking a question?
It was me. My question was, if someone, you know, giving a word of props that you were saying, and they, you know, do a lot of talking about your past,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Is that all the time they're operating under a familiar spirit, or can sometimes could God just, you know, give them a word about the past that would lead up to what are you telling me right now that I would understand?
Okay, is that what they are always saying?
No. Well, some of them, I don't pay attention to those every word most of them talking about. You know, my past is something that was already been dealt with, but I'm talking about, like, they might mention something that happened in my past that really hurt, that caused this me to act the way I do, you know, to give me some understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Get from under, you know, that what I've been doing to understand where it originated from, or, you know, to give me whatever that I would need. You know, they might just.
It's hard for me to say and speculate because I'm not really understanding if these people are, if this is like the same person prophesying, you know, to you always, always, always about your past. And in that case, I would have to refer, you know, if, because of the fact I'm not sure of really the details that you're explaining, and because of that, I would refer you to 1 John 4:1, which says, try the spirits. And see if they be of God. And I'm not saying try what they're saying, because people can prophesy to you and what they say is right, but you got to see what spirit they're operating in.
That's
and you
right.
need for the Lord to reveal to you what spirit, you know, what is the source of your information.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Can I
and yes, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish. Go ahead.
That's good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add that usually when someone is going, usually when God allows them to go into your past, if they're a true prophet, it's for the purpose of deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not bringing deliverance in your life, then it's simply giving you information from the past that you don't really need to know. You already know
mm-hmm.
about your past. And God
That's
is
right.
not
mm-hmm.
stupid about what's going on in your past. But
That's right.
if I come to you and I say, sis, I see some issues that's going on in your life from the past that's hindering you from going forward for God, then we see God working.
Right.
But if it's just to give you information, just for me to show you that I have a gift, then that is
uh-huh.
not God.
That's right.
So then you have to look for the fruit of it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Is it bringing you life or is it bringing you death?
That's right.
That's all I wanted to add to that.
That was excellent too. Thank you so much for adding that, because that's absolutely correct. It's absolutely correct.
Prophet, if I might add to it too, that
uh-huh.
along in my experience with that prophetic word concerning the past, there's also a word of wisdom that comes along with it.
Uh-huh.
So because it's not just an identification of where I've been, but it's helping me. It's always been a word that helped me to get from where I've been to where God needs me to go, and to get
uh-huh.
the understanding of how to get there,
uh-huh.
how to be free, not only how to be free, but how to stay free from where I've been.
Well, uh-huh. I'm trying to get back,
you know, because I'm sorry.
I don't know what happened. Hold on, sis. Wait, hang up. Hey, Lord.
Okay, she's answering another line. So, I think what you all are saying is excellent, and it's definitely true. And what we have to learn how to do is, you know,
try the spirit.
That's for sure. But at the same time, we got to go far enough in God,
mm-hmm.
so that God can deal with some of these issues. You know what I'm saying, that we're dealing with. I think that because we tend to rely so heavily upon prophecy and not our relationship with God, you know, it causes us to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prophecy comes to edify us.
That's
and
right.
And I'll say it over and over and over again. I don't hate prophecy. I'm a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
But you cannot make all of your life decisions based on somebody prophesying to you.
That's right.
You got to have a relationship with God yourself and be able to hear the voice of God and know what it is that the Lord is saying to you
mm-hmm.
so that
you know, so that you can do what he's called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And not just what he's called you to do, but even be able to function in everyday life. You got to learn how to operate in the word of wisdom, because the word of wisdom is practical.
Right.
The word of wisdom is practical because you will be able to apply it to decisions that you have to make. The Spirit of God will show you the when and the how,
mm-hmm,
that you have to do things and you know, when you need to implement things. But we got to go far enough in God for the Lord to deliver us from some of this stuff from our past. I don't believe that you should be saved 20 and 30 years and God is still talking to you about your past. Something's
mm-mm
wrong with that.
Mm-mm. We should be delivered
something
from
is,
some of that
something
stuff.
Something is wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, that's not to say that there aren't people who, you know, who are still dealing with those issues, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm,
from the past or whatever, whatever, but it really should not be. It's speaking about our relationship with God. Something is lacking because God's power, amen, God is not handicapped. God does not have a shortage on his anointing to deliver. Amen. And so what we have to do is we got to get in God, you know, and go deep enough, amen, in the Lord in order for us to come out of this flesh. That's what this flesh is surrounded by issues. You know, and I have to, you know, and I say things that I know that the Lord deals with us differently, but I also know that God is not a respecter of persons. And if God does something for one person, that right there sets the precedent, that means he'll do it for anybody. That means he will do it for anybody. And so we got to know that there are some who should be in mental institutions today, who should be locked away in prisons, you know, because of things from their past. But because of God. Because, amen, of the power of God and the Spirit of the Lord delivering, amen, these things, amen, have not come to pass. And so, you know, we just have to, we got to get God on the inside. And we got to let what's on the inside of us, you know, be influenced to every area of our life. Just let it influence and penetrate every area of our life. And when we do that, we'll see ourselves delivered. You know what I'm saying? And not just ourselves, but we'll see others delivered by the power of God. But it is so necessary for us to have relationship with God, because there's no reason. You know, I can see when you first get saved, maybe the first couple of years when you get saved, God is dealing with you about, you know, your past issues. But, you know, if something is going on and you find yourself that somebody is still talking to you about the past and God is still speaking to you about the past, that means you're stuck and you got to get out of that place.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
But that's not healthy. Amen. And you got to move on. The Bible says, amen, that there are higher heights and deeper depths. And we are supposed to be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, what is the breadth, what is the depth. Amen. And what is the height? Amen. Then this is dimension in God. Amen. And so we got to be able to get into greater dimensions in God. And you can't get there if you're still stuck on last year.
That's right.
So, you know, there's a point where we have to do what Paul said and forget those things that are behind. You know, because there's definitely you know something to be said about advancing and going forward as we, you know, forget about the things that have happened in our past, you know. And so I know some of us have had such deep hurts and wounds and whatever, but we need to start talking about the power of God and,
that's
you know,
right,
the ability of God's power to deliver us from
that's
no
right
matter what. And we got to do that. This is a place where we got to go. Amen. The same God that saved us, that power that he have, you know, the faith that we use to be saved, that same faith needs to be exercised for our deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
That same faith. Amen. Will somebody get ready to say something? Hallelujah. Amen. So this is what we're talking about when we say understanding pneumatics, understanding, you know what is the way we operate. This is how God operates.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. God delivers from the past.
Mm-hmm.
God heals from the past. God severs ties from the past so that when
right.
you look back, you don't have to feel the pain of whatever went on in the past.
That's right.
Amen.
Oh, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I want us to finish. Let's look at the next page here. We are on, we're finishing up the section, what do I possess?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now we're looking at the gifts of discerning of spirits,
mm-hmm.
which we don't hear a lot about that
no.
anymore. We kind of mm-hmm. just laid back. We
and
laid
then a lot
back
of people
a lot
get
of things.
Discerning of spirits mixed up with just plain old discernment. Also.
Okay, and so
there's a difference.
So, okay, and we can talk about that.
Mhm.
We can talk about that a little bit.
Right.
I am trying to. 1 second. My pages seem to be getting stuck together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, discerning of spirits. Okay, this is the supernatural ability to see into the realm of the spirit,
mm-hmm.
beholding human spirits, demon spirits, and holy angels.
Right.
And know the difference between them all. Anyone who has the Holy Spirit can sense the presence of any type of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we should be able to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the way I should have typed that. It should have said, you should be able to
mm-hmm.
know the difference between any other kind of spirit.
Right.
Okay. We often refer to that as being able to discern or have the gift of discernment. And everyone who has the Spirit of God is a discerner on some level.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to discern if you have the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
You should. The Spirit of God should be able to speak to you and show you what is of him and what is not of him. When,
that's right.
And I really feel like the biggest issue that we have had, I see it in church all the time, you know, is discerning whether or not folks are lying, because you got
mm-hmm,
some lying
mm-hmm.
folks in church, Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, people, you know, they just be talking and just rambling on and carrying on and things and just be lying,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we need to, you know, bring back the days of being able to discern the spirit of truth and the
That's
spirit
right.
of error.
That's right.
Amen. And the only way that this is going to happen is we got to get in the presence of God. There is no quick formula. I don't care who wrote what in their books.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? There is no 7 steps to the presence of God. Come on. It's one
Mm-mm.
step. Get in it.
That's right.
That's it. You know, and you got to just stay there. Okay. We have to be able to, as prophetic people, we got to be able to discern the spirits that we come in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to discern whether or not a person is operating in a familiar spirit,
right.
whether or not a person is walking in error,
mm-hmm.
whether or not a person, amen, is carnal,
mm-hmm.
whether or not a person is mature or
mm-hmm.
if they are a babe,
yes.
because the behavior levels are going to show the difference between the two.
That's right.
And when you are able to discern, believe me, you'll be able to be patient with people when you understand where they are.
Mm-hmm.
When
yes.
you discern where they are. God has not given us these gifts just so that we can say, I can discern that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not what it's for. You know, to put ourselves up on a pedestal or anything like that. God has given us these gifts so that we can, you know, yes, we got to edify the saints, but there's people that need to be delivered.
That's right.
Ooh.
That's right.
There are people that need, and not just need, there are people who want to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
amen, it's going to take the discerning of spirits to be able to cast a devil out.
That's
because
right.
when a person, let me tell you something, the biggest thing, and I saw it in a service recently, where somebody fell out on the floor as if they was getting delivered, and they just got up just still filled with that demonic spirit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we think that when folks fall out, that that means, okay, God, all right, now they delivered because they fell out in the spirit.
Mm-mm, but it doesn't, because they may have made friends with that spirit.
Now they trying to get away from you.
That's what they're doing. They're falling out on the floor because they want you to leave them alone.
Uh-huh.
That's right. They don't want to come out.
That's right.
That's
right. That's
right.
I had an experience Sunday, but I won't go into it, but oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they try to deceive you and make you think they're not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's still there.
On the other hand, concerning the right spirit, because I had someone to act up on me, and I did. I fell out, you know, on the floor. Wasn't nothing wrong with me. Wasn't no spirit there. I just wanted them to leave me alone.
Let me tell you, we have got to be able to, and we can do it in love,
mm-hmm.
but we have got to be able to, when people are speaking over us
mm-hmm.
and they are prophesying and whatever it is they're doing, if they are in error, we have a responsibility to say, I'm sorry, that's not me.
That's right. A-T-T. That's right.
Lord,
because there is power in the words that are coming out of their mouths, and if you just receive those words
mm-hmm.
and you don't, you know what I'm saying, you don't reject those words and you just let them speak over you and lay hands on you and, you know what I'm saying,
and
pronounce all kind of stuff over your life, uh-uh.
And you keep
then
shaking.
When you leave church, go ahead, I'm sorry.
And you keep shaking your head, yeah.
Tell the truth, sir. That's right. You can't do that.
Mm-mm. Nope.
You can't do that. And then when you leave church, you struggling with all kind of demonic activity and issues that you didn't even have when you came into the building.
That's right.
But because you agreed with that word that was spoken over you.
Oh,
God.
Also,
and
Pastor,
I want to tell you,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know I'm full. I just go on forever. Go ahead, honey. You go ahead and talk.
I just wanted to get back to at the beginning you were talking about our first ministry is intercession.
That's right.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
as prophets, especially stationed at our churches, I know we all have different callings.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. But one of my callings is the watchman over my church.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a responsibility
yes.
to mm-hmm.
work that sword of discerning
right.
of spirits and know
that's
who
right.
is who, what is what, and what's going
that's
on
right.
in your church.
That's
and there is
right.
a
that's
time
right.
and a place to reveal and unveil the different spirits.
That's right.
You
that's
can't
right.
just go after because you see it, because every battle is not your battle, and it's timing.
That's right.
Because
that's
you
right.
got to give people time to get delivered.
Amen.
But when
that's
they go
right.
past their time, as a prophet, as a watchman, it's your job to call it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And that's the importance of discerning spirits, especially
right.
in your local body.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. I'm so glad you said that. If I might just say, prophetess, because I had a conversation just today, and I was talking with an elder at my church, and I said to them, I said, listen, I said, this is what God is saying. And I said, listen, this is something that as a servant of the Lord and as a messenger of God that I have been praying about for quite a while. I said, however, God has not released me to say anything until now.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Because it is now that God is saying, look, I've said this and I've said that, and, you know, for sake of confidentiality, certain things I can't say, but God has said some things.
and God had desired some things. Let me put it that way.
Uh-huh.
God doesn't see the desire of his heart come to pass, and he has given his people a certain space of time to do that. First, first ministry is to pray, but then as the second ministry, it comes a time when, okay, you don't pray no more. You have to take action. So then today, it was just today, and I thank you for saying that because I know that was God's way of just even confirming to me that I was in his will today, because it was just today that the Lord released me and said, okay, now, open your mouth and say what I told you.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of what I said, a meeting is being called.
Mm-hmm.
Let me rephrase that because I didn't say anything. But as a result of what the Lord said,
mm-hmm.
a meeting is being called. And it's all to the glory and honor of God. And yes, woman of God, I don't know who exactly I'm speaking to. I don't know your name. But
Prophetess Sherry.
Yes, ma'am. I thank God for you just sharing that because our first ministry is to pray.
That's right.
But then there does come a time after we've seen, because we're seers, and after we've seen and God has shared us, you know, his heart or what it is that he desires to see for his body, that we do have to say, okay, now this is the time to say something, that there might be some action that takes place behind
us. That's right.
And that's important that we know that. And on that note, what I was saying about that was, you know, not that you go to the person, whoever it is, that's prophesying to you, and you just be unseemly, especially if they're doing it in front of the church.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be like, you ain't even in the spirit. You know, in the blood of Jesus. And, you know. I don't mean like that, you know. I mean in the sense of, and I'll give you an example. This is some years ago, and my husband and I had been going through some marital problems, and we had been separated, and, you know, and actually he was backslidden at the time, and he had just come back to the Lord, and, you know, and the Lord was just, you know, working in my house and, you know, setting things in order. And I went to this service, and this girl got up, and I knew that, because this is my former pastor, and I knew that he had told her, you know, they had been talking about what had happened because of the things that she had said. And so she calls me up in front of the church, and she says,
"Oh Lord,"
all kind of stuff, you know, and she's supposed to be prophesying to me, and she's telling me about how, you know, my husband was jealous about the ministry. I wasn't even preaching, okay? That hadn't even gotten no call to preach, okay? I don't even know what she was talking about. But, you know, talking about he was jealous of the ministry and how we were fighting against each other and, you know, how the enemy was using him to fight against me so that I didn't do ministry. I mean, all kind of stuff that was just not even pertaining to me. And I, you know, she started talking, and I stood there for as long as I could while she was talking, and I said, "Excuse me, sis," and I whispered, I said, "I'm sorry, that's not me."
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And I was very, very tactful,
mm-hmm.
you know, I didn't call no attention to
mm-hmm.
myself, and I mean, I knew everybody was looking forward, you know, anyway, at looking to the front of the church,
uh-huh.
because, you know, she called me out in front of everybody, you know, and in my mind, I'm saying to myself, you know what, I know what I just came through, and I know what God just did in my house, and I am not going to let nobody speak no lying stuff over
mm-mm.
my house,
mm-mm.
and then set my house in a turmoil
all over again.
And then I have to deal with this stuff. But I dealt with it very tactfully. And I'm going to tell you what she did. She tried to save face. And she was like, "Oh, no. The Lord says you're a woman of God." And, you know, then she went into all this other stuff. You know, and I just was, you know, I kind of was just tickled about it. I wasn't in ministry at the time, you know, and didn't even know how in the world I couldn't even see myself doing no ministry at the
mm-hmm.
time. I mean, that's how it was. It's been several years ago. But just the idea that people sometimes in their flesh will prophesy things that they think that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to be tactful because you have to understand the power of life and death is in your tongue.
That's right. That's right.
And not just in your tongue, but in somebody else's tongue when they're speaking words over you.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to understand, you know, that if you set yourself in agreement with that stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it's not God, then you're going to open yourself up to other problems. You know what I'm saying?
You
because you've agreed
know.
With some words, amen, that have been spoken. So, you know, it's not just your words that come out of your mouth, but it's what table you sit to, you know, to eat and whose words you are receiving into your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why you have to be, you know, use discerning when you're dealing with folks.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so important that we do that. And even us, you know, as prophetic people, whether you are an apostle, evangelist, whatever it is that God has called you to do, and God begin to use you to speak, you know, only speak if he gives you a word to speak. If he don't give you nothing, don't feel compelled to speak. I don't care who tries to get you to prophesy.
That's right.
But if the Lord opens the door for you to minister at some church somewhere, even if it's at your home church, and he gives you a message, preach the message. If he don't give you no prophecies for nobody, let them know you just received your prophecy through the preach word.
That's right.
And drive on.
That's right.
For years, as I was going and still going, I adapted the habit, you know, when someone is prophesying, call itself prophesying over me and saying the wrong thing. I just, where I felt a certain way, I would just, I would try to say it where they didn't, you know, hear me, but I know that spirit would, you know, and I would cover myself in the blood of Jesus and ask the Lord, I'm not accepting whatever you see in Lord. I accept it. If it's not you, I refuse. And I find myself doing that over the people of my church when they're getting prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I do that. It's like an automatic thing. You know, I cover them. I do that.
And that's okay, missionary. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but that's okay. But I need to tell you this, because you know this is our prophetic education, right?
Mm-hmm.
We get our prophetic education, right? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we have to look to the scripture for how do we behave concerning this. And the Bible tells us that prophets are supposed to prophesy two or three by course,
and that
we are supposed to judge these words.
Mm-hmm.
And that is part of judging these prophecies. And if somebody is off, then it is the responsibility of the rest of us in the church to be able to say yes or no, you were right, you were wrong.
That's right.
That's
exactly.
Accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's accountability within the house.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no accountability in the house, then we got folks running all over the place prophesying, and it's out of order.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand what you were saying, and you know, and I believe that the Lord heard your prayer when you covered yourself, and you did what you knew to do, what was, you know, that was right. But today you learned better. Amen?
That's it.
I know it's difficult.
I am learning, you know. So
amen.
I'm always open to learn more, get it. Added to my learning.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Apostle, was you ready to say something?
No, I just was thinking about the scripture that says, despise not prophecy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have to be careful that as we protect ourselves, we don't despise the true word
right.
of God.
Right.
Prophet Stubb, in the word you just gave a minute ago, down here in Mississippi, what they try to call it is residue prophecy. In other words, they saying that was something that was left there to try to save face. But I did have a question. I hope I'm not out of order.
No, go ahead, sir.
My question is, what do you think about the person who say, if I be a prophet, or if I be a prophetess, such and such is going to happen in 3 days. So what do you think about that?
Well, Apostle, I think that really, I mean, because I don't find that in Scripture, and I know a lot of times we do things and we don't find it in Scripture, but that is something that is carnal. That is something that, you know, we say in our flesh because we're trying to prove that we are this or we are that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the word of God and even prophetic words speak for themselves. And there is no need for us to try to prove to others that, yes, I'm a woman of God. Yes, I'm a man of God. I believe that, you know, a lot of times things like that are spoken out of insecurity. Because, you know, we may feel that people may not be receiving what
mm-hmm.
we're saying.
That's right.
We feel like we have to qualify. We have to qualify the word of the Lord. Who better to qualify God's word than God?
That's
you know
right.
what I'm saying? We don't have to say, if I be a woman of God, if I be a man of God, such
mm-mm.
and such is going to happen. You are already prophesying. Why do you have to have a prophecy that backs up your prophecy?
Right.
I mean.
Right.
Amen. I mean.
That's
Amen.
Like you questioning your own self as to whether you are or not. If I be.
You know.
It's actually
and I
a setup.
It is. It
it's
is.
It's a setup because what God will do is turn around and let it not happen to teach you a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do for the last time, but they still say it regardless. They act like they didn't
yeah.
end it the last time.
And see, this is why, you know, in this segment of our prophetic education, we're talking about what do I possess.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we discussed this a little earlier about not letting people switch you, not switching your message. You're not trying to prove who you are. You're there to deliver Christ
mm-hmm.
to the people. And Jesus never said, if I be Jesus.
Mm-mm.
Then this and that is going to happen.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
You know, when they doubted who he was, and even Pilate said to him, are you Jesus? Are you the Christ? The King of the
another.
Jews? He said, that's what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Say it, uh-huh. He just told him. He said, hey,
mm-hmm.
that's what you said.
Yes.
Okay, that's what you said. He didn't say, yeah, and guess what? I am going to call my angels down from heaven, you know. And he used that in one instance where he said, if I was of this world, I would do this and I would do that. But since I'm not of this world, then I'm, you know, you say what you got to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, that's my own paraphrase, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think that we have to get away from that, you know, trying to prove to somebody who we are. We don't have to do that. Let the word of God speak for itself. Let the prophetic words speak for themselves. There have been times where I've been tempted to say something to try to qualify myself because I knew that people were looking at me up the left side of my head and wanted me to shut up, you know. And I knew
Amen.
That, you know, they weren't receiving what I was saying. And I could
mm-hmm.
see their eyebrows when their
Amen.
Eyebrows went up. And
mm-hmm.
they was like, oh, my God, here she go, you know. And what I did was I said, Lord, I'm leaving it up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see fit, you are going to confirm your word. And
That's
not
right.
only are you going to confirm your word, God, you're going to bring it to pass. I don't even have to, because it's not my word.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to back up.
Mm-hmm. And we're
God
the vessel.
Has to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to say what God tells us to say and take our seat. That's my motto.
Yes.
You'll find it through the reading as you read through the book. Say what God tells you to say and take your seat.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. You don't have to show how powerful you are, how anointed you are. And I remember recently this lady said she was, you know, they was going off. We had went to this service, and this lady asked us to come. Actually, wasn't a service. We went to her house. She asked us to come and pray in her house. And so we went over there to go pray, and Lord have mercy. She invited a whole slew of folks. She had another thing in mind. She had something else in mind.
Mm.
These folks came in there cutting the food. I mean, the pure D-food, okay?
Oh, my.
And so I was like, okay, it's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
And those who came with us to pray in her house, you know, I kind of looked around,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I was like, well, you know, we're going to have to go. We thank God for y'all, but we're going to have to go. So the lady was trying to press us to make us stay, you know, one of the ladies that came in, you know, and she was the one in there acting up.
Mm-hmm.
And so
She went through the same thing tomorrow. She wanted to say something to us before we left, and so she calls herself prophesying to my husband and whatever, whatever. And she said that same thing, if I be a woman of God, that a plane is going to crash, blah, blah, blah. Now, can I tell you something? Planes are crashing every other day nowadays. When a plane crashed, I was so not moved. I was like, that ain't nothing. Yes, ma'am. I mean, yes, sir.
I live in Gulfport, Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
All my life, hurricanes come this way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm prophesying that another Katrina will come this way. If I live by the next 10 years, we'll see another Katrina. That's not prophesying. They've been prophesying for 20 years that half of California going to fall into the river.
It ain't failing yet.
Oh, yeah, I heard that one, too, yeah.
That's a scientific fact.
Mm-hmm. Hello, that's right. Let the earth shift just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You know, and it's ridiculous.
I don't mean to overtalk, but I had to send one of our prophets down in the church last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
She get up and talk about another prophet saying we better start gathering water. So I didn't want nobody else. If you're not praying and you're not seeking God and getting a word for God for this church, then I don't want to hear it.
That's right.
And I said it in
you
front
said
of everybody.
Right.
Back room.
That's right.
I felt bad though, but I said it anyway.
But you know, Apostle, you told her right. So right, and I'm gonna tell you something. The Bible talks about that, you know, in the, you know, about the days when the prophets would borrow one another's words. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say borrow, it said steal.
There you go.
No comment.
You said no comment.
None.
But I tell you. You know, that's the hour in which we live,
mm-hmm.
and it's unfortunate, you know, and this is where we're going to be able to see who's seeking God and who's not,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's something about God giving his commandment about the manna. You
right.
can't hold it overnight.
Mm-mm.
And if you're still holding on to some manna from yesterday, it's going to show.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to show
because
nobody's going to be able to eat it. So, that's, you know, it's really unfortunate that, you know, that she had to be sat down. But, you know, that's the truth. You need to hear God for this house.
That's right.
And if that's not what God is speaking for this house, then
Amen.
Shush.
Amen.
That's just the bottom line.
Amen.
So,
and then there's a protocol you must go through also.
Say that again.
I say there's also a protocol.
Amen.
That you should go to also in church too.
Amen. And that differs from house to house.
Right.
And so we have to learn how to you know, line up with whatever protocol is in the house in which we are in.
That's right.
Amen. Because she was doing that testimony service.
Mm.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. Mm. I like him.
I do too. Yeah, my husband, he has a thing about that too, you know. That would just irk him to no end when people would get up and talk about they have a testimony and they preach a message or they go off into something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is definitely out of order.
12 minutes.
For real.
Huh?
I timed her. It was 12 minutes.
Wow.
To be brief.
Wow. We don't even have testimony service. Ain't no testimony.
We don't either.
We don't either.
That was the last Sunday we had it, last week.
Probably the last, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Amen.
Well, listen, I thank God for the fact that, you know,
God has given us all the thing that we need so that we know the difference and be able to discern between what is right, what is off,
mm-hmm.
and what is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen. And in order for us to be able to do that, we definitely have to be able to use discerning. And I'm going to tell you something, Apostle. What you're saying is so true. But you know what? In some churches, that sister would have gotten up and the whole church would have ran behind it, pastor and everybody,
mm-hmm.
because folks don't have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right.
And so thank God for the apostolic mantle that's on your life,
mm-hmm.
amen, and you are able to, listen, be as a father would be as, you know, to his daughter and say, listen, you got to sit it down.
Mm-hmm.
You got to sit it down.
Mm-hmm.
Let her come through this glass.
Well, I praise God, sir. Praise God. Amen. Now, I encourage you, amen, those of you who have your books, please read those last two clauses, amen, on the differences between the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and the gift of the word of wisdom and the gift of prophecy. Amen. And also be prepared, amen, for next week, Lord willing, for our class. Amen. We're going to start, amen, boot camp. Now, I'm telling you, we're getting into the parts that I like now because we finished laying the foundation. Now we're going to get into the meat.
Okay.
Now we're going to get into some serious stuff here. Okay. And right here is where we're going to be able to separate the men from the boys. Amen. And this is where we're really going to start talking about the issues and things that we are doing, amen, as prophetic people. And we're going to find out whether or not we're really ready for this call.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some of us, we already in the middle of it. Couldn't turn back if we tried.
Oh, that's right.
You know, but, you know, for next week, please study 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. We're going to be looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
And also 2 Timothy 2 and 3.
Okay.
So 1 Corinthians 4, 14 through 16.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 Timothy 2 and 3. I will be posting an assignment to the group from tonight's class. I will post it by the weekend, and it will be due by Wednesday.
Okay.
Can you put the scriptures on there on the assignment, too?
Yes, sir, I will.
I lost my ink pen.
Hallelujah. I ain't never been to Mississippi, but we coming to visit you, Apostle. Just so we can sit in service and just hear the word, sir. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to start boot camp, Lord willing, on next week. Amen. That is the section that we're ready to go into.
Amen.
We have laid a foundation, laid a good foundation. Amen. And now we're going to really start dealing with some of the other things, you know, the more mature issues concerning prophetic ministry. We're going to get into the different kinds of prophets and different types of apostles, and issues like that. And so we're going to get into that, and I will be posting your assignment again by the weekend, and it will be due on Wednesday. Amen?
Okay. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Evangelist Warren, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Can you close us out in prayer, please, ma'am?
Sure.
Thank
Father
you.
God, we come in the name of Jesus.
Thank
Lord, we
thank,
thank
you,
you so much, Father, for this prophet, Lord, for giving us what you have given to her, Lord, so freely. And,
yeah.
Lord, I ask, Lord, that you will bless each household, Lord, that's represented here tonight, Lord. And, Lord, as we close out this class, Lord,